The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Annual congregational meeting for Grace Community Church, and I would like to open with scripture reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is God's word. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we'd already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you. We proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we also thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles, so that they may be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the utmost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short while, in person, not in spirit, we're all the more eager with great desire to see your face. For we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful work that you have done and are doing at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. Father, we thank you for years of your faithfulness to us. And Father, as we have our annual meeting this morning, we pray that our own hearts would be just filled with the wonder of your grace in the gospel which you have revealed to us, that our own hearts would marvel at your undeserved faithfulness to us. And we pray that you would continue to motivate and encourage all of us to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Father, we do not take our peace and unity for granted, but we give you thanks for it and pray that by your grace we would do the utmost to preserve it. And Father, we also pray that in this coming year that you would help us to be men and women and families that are eager to share the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And so we commit this meeting to you and pray for your help and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first order of business is to give a State of the Church address, which of course is going to be relatively brief. And I want to just start with, there's just a few things that we're going to cover. And the first is the Lord's unbelievable kindness to us. So we are, this coming March, we will hit our 29th year of ministry, and God has showered us with grace and mercy again and again and again. And we are so profoundly grateful. And in fact, this last week, I was up in Prineville, Oregon, preaching at the Fire Conference, and did the first three chapters of 1 Thessalonians in three sermons. It's true. I did it. All right? But just going through 1 Thessalonians, there are so many passages that really just resonate with my own heart. The apostle could say in chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more." When I think of the believers at Grace Community Church, I think to myself, Father, I thank you that so many are walking as they ought to walk, and my prayer is simply that we would excel still all the more. Even later in that same chapter, and this one really hits home to me, Paul says in verse 9, "Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more." And as I think of the saints at Grace Community Church, my own heart is filled with thanksgiving because your love for one another is so encouraging. And so there's a sense in which I can simply say, you know, you're taught by God. You're taught by God to love one another. And your service to each other is absolutely beautiful. And so I just simply say, let's excel still all the more. There's a genuine love among God's people. There's faithful service in the work of the ministry. I mean, so many things take place without even the elders doing anything to prompt or direct. Things just happen because God's people love each other and they serve each other. Also, I'm deeply grateful for the love for His Word. And it is, I can say this without any reservation at all, out of any place that I could preach the Word of God, I would rather be here preaching to you than any other place in the world. And that means even, you know, when you go to places that people don't know you and they come up and they just, "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you." And here it's just, "Ask just old Pastor Brian." I'd rather be just old Pastor Brian than somebody that people are just, "Oh, thank you so much, so much. We appreciate that so much." Are you getting the hint? And so there's just this wonderful sense of you love the Word of God, and you are the easiest people in the world to preach to. It's a joy to see you living out your faith with each other in sweet fellowship. It's also a joy to see God week by week and month by month bring us new wonderful people who also share the same convictions. Another kindness that God has demonstrated to us He has brought to us Daniel Corey and his wonderful family. And I cannot express my gratitude to God enough for that blessing. It was 2 years ago, knowing that Jason was going to be leaving, that I posed the idea to Daniel. And it took him an entire year to make up his mind. It was a year ago this month that he said yes. And I wept more profusely, I think, in the front seat of your car. And he felt very uncomfortable about it. But Daniel and Lacey and their girls have been such a huge blessing. And I thank God for them. From October 21 to October 22, we can give thanks to God that there have been 9 baptisms and the addition of 27 new members, and by the end of today, it will be 10 baptisms and 30 new members. And we are very, very thankful. Now, as we come to the membership report, as I mentioned, we added 27, and I'm going to go over the resignations and removals very quickly. So, Olivia Zeron married and is moved away. She's now Olivia Anderson. And then Grace Anderson, also married and moved on, and I don't know Grace's new last name, but it's not Anderson, I'm sure. Destiny, Leandra, and Rihanna all moved. Ruth Bogman moved. Josh and Brittany Chappelle moved. We were sad to hear Rose, William, and Bill Feltner have resigned their membership and are going to a different church that's closer to their home. And just to let you know, they left on wonderfully amiable, friendly, loving terms, of course. Scott and Jessica Martin moved away. Travis McDonald is at Dayspring. Rick and Ann Miller were removed because of inactivity. Shelby Morales, that still looks weird to me. Shelby Morales married and moved. She's at Dayspring with Brandon, is that's right? And then Tim and Donna Regan are changing churches, leave in good standing. Elise and McCain, Shell Hart moved away, and then Hannah Wetmore, now Hannah Woodruff, married some young buck, and he took her to Reno, so she married and moved. She'll come to her senses. They'll both be back, I have no doubt. And so, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Of a much sadder note, this last year, we have seen more deaths within our congregation than ever before. And we've seen more weddings, which is wonderful. We have, if I'm not mistaken, we have 2 more. Is that right? 2 more. And then I'll be done for a while. No. 3 more. 3 more. Okay. 3 more. Then I'll be done for a while. No? Okay. So that's always happy. That's good news. But over this last year, We have had 6 members who have gone on to be with the Lord. And very hard to read through these names, but Arnie Diggerud, Jane Lloyd, Beverly Long, George Venturella, and Ed and Louise Wheeler. Also within that same scope, we've also, of course, we need to mention Ricardo, Bob Morse, Dave Mason, Tom Duncan, and even Destiny's Baby. And so we're so thankful that we do not grieve as those who have no hope. And so God is on his throne, and we give thanks that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We do have, in a sense, 2 discipline cases right now. Monica Hansen, and I just want to report that the elders, we see many good, encouraging signs. We are encouraged with Monica, and we would just exhort you as the body of Christ to continue to encourage her. And the other is Sam and Amira Wilking. Sam and Amira are under discipline as well. They have moved out to Fallon to live with Amira's parents. And just I would remind you as a matter of prayer that Amira's parents are Jehovah's Witnesses. And now we did receive news that Sam, I had reached out to Sam. He said he was going to write me a letter. I said, you need to take formal discipline more seriously. A letter won't do. You need to sit down with us. And so on the 18th of October, Sam will be coming in. Amira is not interested, as far as we know. And so we will meet with Sam. So be praying that the Lord would really turn their hearts. The ministry of the Word, we continue in our study in the 1689 Confession in Sunday School. We're in chapter 26. There's 32 chapters, so we'll probably be done this next year. We are in Romans in the mornings. We stopped at the end of Romans 8. When we pick up, we'll be in Romans 9. And I want to just say I am incredibly excited to preach Romans 9. If you've never read Romans 9, I highly suggest you read it before I preach it. And in fact, read it a few times. Read it prayerfully. And because it's going to say things that you're probably not all that used to hearing. In the afternoons, we're hearing 1 Samuel by Daniel, and it has been outstanding. I'm thankful to God for Carolyn, who has curbed some of Daniel's titles, which would have certainly got him in trouble. On Wednesdays, we are in Revelation, and we're chapter 14, but as you all know, we have suspended those things to slip in Ecclesiastes. And so this coming Wednesday will be in Ecclesiastes 6. Let me just make a couple observations, and then Daniel's going to come and say a few words. And these observations, exhortations, are for our edification. The first is you may have noticed that we never make a big deal about giving. In fact, we don't even tell you that there are boxes in the back to receive your offering. We have never, from the very beginning, have never wanted to give even a remote appearance that Grace Community Church is about money, because it is not. And so have we been negligent at times in that effort? Negligent in talking about money when we should? And the answer is probably yes. But I would rather be negligent in that area than be guilty of talking about it too much. And so I would just simply point out that that finances are lagging a little more than usual at this time of year. Normally we end up catching up in December, but this year we are a little farther behind than what is normal. And I want to just acknowledge, we realize that the current economy, especially with inflation, is just hard on everybody. But we would encourage all of us to simply be as faithful as we can be. God has taken care of us over the years. He's always taken care of us. He even took care of us when we had one of our officers embezzling a ton of money from us. God still met our needs. Now, he met our needs even more when that stopped. But God's faithfulness has always, always been great, and so I just bring that to your attention. The second thing, I want to really encourage our members and our regular attenders to make Sunday afternoons a priority. It's easy to eat lunch and leave, and I would just encourage all of us that the Lord's Day is, in fact, the Lord's Day. We don't have an evening service. We have an afternoon service. And so I would encourage you to make Sunday afternoons a priority as well. I will say the preaching is outstanding. It's not as if we are filling the time with really boring things that would waste your time. It's not true. And so for those who say, well, there's, you know, you have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, that's too much for me to remember. The point of preaching is not for you to remember everything. Okay? Yeah, someone just said, thank God. In fact, I would remind you of what my hero said about preaching, and he said it's not a matter, Jonathan Edwards, it's not a matter of what you're able to recall as much as it is the impact that God makes on you in the act of preaching. And I've talked to you about this before, where when you think about the sermons that have made the biggest impact on you, what you realize is that what you remember about that sermon is not necessarily the 3 points or the illustration. What you remember is the way that God dealt with your soul through that preaching. And so I would encourage you, the preaching is outstanding. We all need the ministry of the word. I know that some are hindered because of ministry or other legitimate issues, but I would just encourage you that if you're not in the habit of staying, please do. And I want to read to you from John L. Dagg, who was an early Baptist in the Southern Baptist movement. He says, punctual attendance on the ministrations of the word is necessary to the spiritual improvement of the church. It's necessary to encourage the heart of the minister. He cannot be expected to preach with earnestness and persevering zeal if his people manifest no pleasure in listening to the truth he proclaims. Let him know that they drink in the word with delight, that their souls are refreshed by it, and that it greatly increases their fruitfulness in holiness. With this knowledge, he will be stimulated to go forth in his work with boldness and to endure all his toils with the sustaining assurance that his labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so Dagg actually goes on with some other excellent observations. But let me just remind you that not only are you encouraged through the ministry of the word, but it is an encouragement to the one who brings the word to see your faces. It really is. And for those of you who spend a tremendous amount of time preparing a Thanksgiving meal, I want to make an analogy. You start early, you put in a ton of time, you work hard for everybody's good, you work hard for everybody's nourishment, and then if people that should be there aren't there, then you feel that you've labored in vain. You're thankful for the ones that are there eating, but you did make it for more than just them. And so I can tell you that, and I'm just going to speak regarding Daniel, he works hard at preparing the ministry of the word. He works very hard. And so I want you to not only be encouraged, but also to encourage. And Daniel, why don't you come on up?
Good morning. Brian asked me to keep it within 5 or 10 minutes, which, as you know me already, that's a huge ask. But Brian asked me to spend a few minutes to encourage the church with some reflections over our time so far at Grace. It was only actually this morning that I realized yesterday was our 7-month anniversary from when we drove into the Carson Valley to start a new life here among you all. So 7 months ago yesterday, my family and I arrived, having just left our previous church family in Seattle, to whom we've given blood, sweat, and tears for over 7 years. And we showed up here on your doorstep with a lot of hurts and a lot of questions. We knew every single inch of King's Cross Church, and we showed up to a church that we knew very little about. We knew every person, every saint. We showed up here knowing almost nobody. We did know Brian, thankfully, but... And so as we showed up, we sought to get those questions answered. And so I'm sure, as you know, unless you've been like born and raised here and you've never seen any other church, you know that every local church has its own personality or culture, for lack of a better term. And as you can imagine, the personality of each individual church is composed of a myriad of kind of inputs. So the leadership has a huge role that is played there. The location and the culture and where they're, you know, at and what they've gone through and how old they are, as far as whether they're a church plant or a longstanding church or whether it's an old congregation or a young congregation. All of those put into a church's personality, but by far the biggest input into a church's personality, for lack of a better term, is you. It's the people that compose the church. Grace Community Church is not a building. It isn't a plot of dirt off Hayborn. It's the saints. And the saints make up the personality of each individual church. And so we have sought over the last 7 months to learn who Grace Community Church is. When we showed up 7 months ago, we stayed with Liz and Jeff Dickinson. We realized right off the bat, this church has a lot of personality. I wrote down 5 or 6 things that have jumped out to both Lacey and I in our 7 months here. And the first one began that night with the Dickinsons, or you might even actually say it began when we came for our visit and we stayed with Vic and Bertie, and that is that you are a hospitable church. The hospitality of the saints here has been so encouraging to us that you have opened your homes to my family and myself and have welcomed us to your table has been a greater expression of love than I think you can have any understanding of. It is not a common thing for churches to be hospitable, sadly. But we have found this church to be extremely hospitable in their private lives, in opening their homes. And we've also found it to be hospitable in what we might call your public, a Sunday morning. You have been a very warm and welcoming body. We cannot say enough just how warm and welcoming you have been to myself, but because you sort of have to be nice to me, but you've been extremely nice to my wife and my girls. They left behind everything as well, and you embraced them with open arms, and I'm just thankful I get a ride on their coattails. Another thing that we have noticed in our time here at Grace Community Church is that you are zealous and hungry. And by that, we mean you're zealous for the worship of the living God, and you are hungry for the Word of God. We were blessed right out of the gates with the way that you worship God in music. That was and continues to be such a balm to our soul, to be among like-hearted Christians who are not content to worship their God quietly. And we are thankful for it. I still think we could be a little louder than we are, but you're not content to worship God quietly or tamely, and we love that. Please continue in that. And as I didn't know what Brian was going to say, so there's actually quite a bit of overlap here. You are hungry for God's word. I would agree with Brian. It is a joy to preach to you. It is a joy to preach to people who long to know what God's word has said, and not just who want to know what it says, but who actually have an interest and intention for it to work its way out in their life. Brian's preached a lot more places than I have, but I have preached in some other places, and you can tell the difference between a hungry people and an indifferent one, or people who are intent on knowing stuff but not living differently. This church expresses and shows every week, and we get a lot of preaching around here from Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and Wednesday night. There's a lot of word that is going out, and you are hungry each and every time, and that is a huge blessing to us. A few things are as encouraging to a young-ish preacher than the hunger that you show for God's word. Another is that it would be related to the first one, hospitality, and I'm sure some of you know the word hospitality actually comes from the word hospital. If you didn't know that, now you know it. This church reminds us of a hospital. You're like, that's a weird thing to say. I want to explain that. I told Lacey this is probably the hardest one to try to get our arms around. You can often have a church where they would be on the more legalistic side of the fence, where they take holiness very seriously, but there is not an openness to be real about sin, being a sinner, and struggles. Or there's the other side of the fence where they're very open, too open at times, and there's no interest to change. And what we found here is that this church has not driven in either of those ditches to our experience, but there is a plain openness that we are a bunch of sinners who sin and yet who are intent to follow God together and walk in holiness. It is a beautiful balance that there's I've been surprised by it to see such an openness and a realness that struggles are real and they are often, and that we are broken in so many different ways, and yet not an indifference toward them, but an ardent desire and hunger to grow in Christ and to not stay put, but to walk with each other patiently and at times with tears, but to walk with each other as we pursue the Lord together. That has been a beautiful thing to see. We have loved your dedication to prayer. When we first showed up, I will admit it was overwhelming, all of the emails that Roger sent out. Still a little overwhelming. But it was overwhelming because we have no idea who all these prayer requests were for. And I have a book that was just filling up with Wednesday night prayer requests and Friday morning prayer requests and the emails that we get. And it was like, I don't even know who all these people are, but there's a ton of these requests. And what first felt like an unwieldy list of like, man, someone needs to edit this down. You really do faithfully pray for each other. Amen. And I've learned that it's not just a list. Those are real people that you really love. And you really do faithfully take them multiple times a week before God's throne and pray for them. I cannot say just how impactful it is to see like the prayer journals, like my brother Bob back there on Friday mornings. And we only share a fraction of them, but there's page after page after page of the names of saints and their needs. This church is marked by prayer, and it's beautiful to see. Please continue to pray for each other. My wife and I felt your prayers for us even before we arrived here. We knew that you were praying for us. We knew Ariel was praying imprecatorily early on. But the rest of your prayers were welcomed and appreciated. Hers were effective. Lastly, your commitment to love one another, as Pastor Brian has already said. We have encountered a group of Christians who are intent to love one another, not based on convenience, but because they're devoted to each other. It's easy to love those who are like-minded and lovely, and you share all their same desires and passions and all that stuff. But you don't love based on that. You love based on that you're brothers and sisters in Christ, you're covenanted together as members, and you serve and love each other faithfully. And that has been so encouraging for us. We were well-loved at King's Cross. And I can say that by God's grace, we've been well-loved already by you all and are very, very thankful for it. And if I could leave you with, I'm at 10 and a half minutes, so just 30 seconds over. But if I could read for you from Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that by the testing you might discern what the will of God is, what is good, and what is acceptable, and what is perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to their faith, if service in serving, to the one who teaches in his teaching, to the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let your love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affections. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in your zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it's written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. We're going to come now to our voting items, and let me just tell you what they are. First of all, the elders recommend the 2023 annual budget, which was presented in detail by Molly 2 weeks ago. We also recommend the proposed changes to the Constitution and the bylaws, And by the way, those the Constitution bylaw changes also reflect the amendments that were made at the Elders Forum. And then we also recommend accepting the Reformed Baptist Seminary policy change. We also will be voting on three new members, Grace Knoll. Grace will be baptized this afternoon. And I am really looking forward to that. And then Patrick and Lisa Schnurbusch also for membership. All right. So are there any questions about the budget, Constitution bylaw changes, or RBS policy change? Any questions before we vote on those? All right, so if you're a voting member and you have not already voted, all right, this isn't Chicago, okay? If you have not already voted, raise your hand and you will get a ballot from one of the deacons. All right, if you're done voting, just raise your ballot and they'll come around and get it. All right, while the deacons are counting those, I'm going to go over just a few upcoming events, and then we will take some time for any questions that there may be, and then we'll close in prayer. So let me just say we have three upcoming events that are worth mentioning. The first is that our annual Reformation lecture will be Wednesday, November 2nd, and the subject this year of the Reformation lecture is Thomas Cranmer. And so, out of curiosity, how many of you have ever heard of Thomas Cranmer? All right, so look at all those that need to come and listen about Thomas Cranmer. Cranmer is one of the I think least appreciated of the reformers, and there are reasons for that. And so his life was intricately bound with Henry VIII's, and so he is a fascinating figure, and he ends up losing his life for the sake of the gospel. And so that will be November 2nd. So Cranmer is English Reformation. So if you're in the habit of dressing up for Reformation night, dress in English garb. The next membership and baptism class is November 12th. And that will be a Saturday morning, 9 to 12. And so if you are not a member and you would like to check out what membership is about, come to that. If you profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have not been baptized, you should come to the baptism class. We're going to see a baptism this afternoon. I'm going to remind all of us that Jesus actually commands his disciples to be baptized. Baptism is not an option. You follow Jesus, you get baptized, all right? And so we'll have that class November 12th. And then next year for our 29th anniversary conference, it will be held March 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And we are going to have one of my dearest friends on the planet, Robert Elliott, come and bring the Word of God to us. And if Cranmer's a little too English for you and you prefer, Scottish people, Robert is your man. And so, anyway, we're looking forward to that. So Daniel called me youngish. You're talking about me, right? Yeah, okay. So, but the older that you get, the more you value friends that you've had for a long time who stick with you through thick and thin. And Robert Elliott is one of those brothers, and so we're looking forward to him being here. All right. Well, we have just a few minutes before, and I don't know how long it'll take the deacons to count. I mean, they're engineers after all. You'd think that they'd have it done very quickly. Roger still is not here, so we don't have to search his pockets. all right. So any questions as we await? Questions about anything? Questions about anything? Michelle? How many members do we have now? That's a good question. I think it's 269. That was my guess was off, but 258, and then Lord willing, shortly it'll be 261, and because that's 3 + 258. All right, and I want you to know I did that unprepared. All right, that was totally impromptu math skills on display. All right, Don.
A few weeks ago, I posed the question to Pastor Daniel, and, well, a statement, actually. I said, I can't figure out how to replace various places where our Bible refers to the Lord or our Lord or God. How do I replace that with YHWH, and when, and what is the benefit or purpose of that?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Do you remember this question? Okay. I don't know how you answered, but I'm sure it will be something like this. So in our English Bibles, we have a long history of translating God's divine name, which is Yahweh. We don't know the pronunciation for 100% certainty, but Yahweh is actually a much better attempt than Jehovah. Jehovah is a Germanized way to try to do what is called the Tetragrammaton. Those are the four Hebrew letters that actually are related to the verb to be. God's divine name is revealed in Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. And so Yahweh is used in Hebrew Bible, and what we've done in both Jewish and also English tradition is we have not translated the name Yahweh as Yahweh. We've done it as Lord, but all in caps. So when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is an expression of where the Hebrew text uses the divine name of Lord. In Jewish tradition, they substituted the divine name with I believe Adonai, which is typically we would translate that Lord as well, but Lord, capital L, and then in lowercase letters. So how do you know when to translate it or use Yahweh? And the answer is when you see Lord all in caps. Now there is a new translation that it's the Legacy Standard Bible, was done by the men at Master Seminary. They have actually retained Yahweh in the translation and have not gone with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So the question then arises, why the Jewish tradition and then why the English Bible tradition? And the answer is that it is an effort to avoid taking God's name in vain, okay? Using it in a way that would be inappropriate, reading it carelessly. And I want to say that I think that although the intention may be good, it borders on superstition. And so if I'm reading an Old Testament text, I will use God's divine name, Yahweh, where it is in the text. And so, all right?
New Testament.
Old Testament. The New Testament translates the term Yahweh as Kurios, but Kurios can also just simply mean Lord, as in master. Okay, so when you have an Old Testament text that's being cited in the New Testament, and that Old Testament text uses Yahweh, the New Testament will use Kurios, and it would be still appropriate to even translate it as Yahweh there, since it would be a citation of an Old Testament text. Okay? All right, we have the results, and we have 155 yes on the budget, yes on the Constitution and bylaws, yes on the RBS policy change. And then also all of the new members were voted in with one abstention on Patrick. And so 155 for everybody else, 154 with an abstention on Patrick, and no no's. And so everything has passed. And this afternoon, I hope Patrick and Lisa will be here, because this afternoon after the baptism, I'm going to preach a very short sermon, okay? And then we'll bring Grace and Patrick and Lisa up and give them the right hand of fellowship, which is like one of the most fun things that we do, all right? All right, very good. Well, let's close in prayer. And just for those of you who have a burden to see people saved, I hope that you pray, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, that God is mighty through the proclamation of His Word to save sinners. I would ask you to especially pray this morning as we preach from Ezekiel 18, 30 to 32, which is an appeal that God makes, stating that He does not desire the death of the wicked, but rather that you would turn and live. And so be praying that God would be mighty in using His Word and bringing people to salvation, even our children. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we give You thanks and praise for all of Your kindnesses to us. What shall we render to the Lord for all of His loving kindnesses? We will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon Your name. And so, Father, we ask that even now, as we get ready to enter into our time of corporate worship, that our hearts would be primed, our hearts would be tuned to sing Your praise. And Father, we pray that we would sing with all of our heart, that we would lift up our voices, that we would declare Your excellencies, and we pray that Your Word would go forth and not return to You void, but accomplish all that You have sent it forth to accomplish. Be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.